Well, today we're continuing our series through the Sermon on the Mount, and today we've come to a topic that is relevant to every single one of us. It's a topic of worry and anxiety. So if you could, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be starting in verse 25. It'll also be up on the screens for you as well. Hear the word of the Lord for us. It's Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. This is God's word for us. You may sit down, and let's go to the Lord now in prayer as we seek to understand and apply his word. Father in heaven, we need this word from you today. We need to understand it. We need to apply it. We want to know your heart when it comes to worry and anxiety, how we might find some freedom from it. And so, Lord, open our minds to understand. Open our hearts to believe. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, what are you worried about? What causes anxiety in your life right now? When you think about your life right now, what causes anxiety? Thursday afternoon, I received a phone call that produced a lot of anxiety within me. Many of you know that I've been working on a Doctor of Ministry degree. It's been a 7-year process, and I finally finished last month. I turned in the final product last month, or so I thought. I received a call Thursday afternoon from my faculty advisor, and he said, you know what, there's been a problem. I was like, wait, what problem? Well, there's someone at the school that is unwilling to sign off on your project. Wait, what? Come again? Anxiety rising. Heart rate going berserk. My mind starts going, we're going to Philadelphia in 2 weeks. My family is going. My extended family is going. We're having a lunch at church. Like, this is, you know, what's going to happen? One phone call and the anxiety rose. What is your story of anxiety? It may come on unexpected, like it did for me on Thursday afternoon, or it may be a familiar presence in your life every day of your life. What do we do with anxiety when it comes? Well, in our therapeutic age, we must not merely look to therapy when we think about how to deal with anxiety. We must not merely look to medication or coping strategies when we think about anxiety, although those can be all helpful in their place. we need to look to the one who made us. We need to hear what our Savior tells us about this plague that we all seem to have. Some very great, some on smaller levels. What does Jesus say about anxiety? Well, in our text, we're going to find that Jesus says three times, "Do not be anxious." And if you struggle with anxiety, you're thinking, whoa, Jesus just drops a bomb there. How am I supposed to deal with that bomb? Do not be anxious. Well, friends, when Jesus gives us a command, he doesn't just leave it and not give us the ability to obey. Jesus is the great physician of our souls. He's not trying to create more anxiety in us because we're anxious. He's not trying to make life more difficult. He's trying to give us freedom from the anxiety when it comes. So in this text, Jesus, as the great physician of our souls, of each one of us, gives us five tools to fight anxiety when it comes. These are proactive and reactive tools. Proactive, so we can fight against anxiety that it might not come. Reactive, in that when it does come, we can use these tools to fight. So what are the tools? The first tool is this. We fight anxiety by remembering what life is about. Look at verse 25 with me. "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So here in his first reason of why we can fight against anxiety, the first tool we have, Jesus says, it's because life is more than about what you are worrying about. Whether it's food or drink or clothing, those are the basic necessities, or by implication, anything else that you're worrying about. That is not what life is about. Whatever you're worrying about, that's not what it's about. Remember, Jesus has just come off teaching about storing up our treasures in heaven and not on earth. That if the Lord is our master, we will live for our heavenly kingdom. But if we're storing up our treasures on heaven and not on earth, many of us are like, well, then how am I going to eat? How am I going to drink if I'm giving it away, if I'm living in this dependent relationship on God? Jesus says, your life is more than about that. It's not just about all those things. What is your life about? Well, in the whole of Scripture, we learn that life is about glorifying God. Life is about life in His kingdom, both now and forever. It's about worshiping Him, enjoying Him forever. So if we're struggling with anxiety, we need to remember what life is about. That's the first tool Jesus gives us. The second tool that he gives us comes in verse 26, and that's to fight anxiety by having faith that God will provide. So Jesus tells us to look around. Look around at nature. Look at the creation and how God provides for creation to help us fight anxiety. He says, first, just go outside, look at the birds. Look what he says. "Look at the birds of the air," verse 26. "They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" So Jesus is saying, literally, go outside. Just go outside, and I would encourage you to do this week. I did it this week. I just walked along this path here. So this is the best sermon prep I've had in a while. Just walking along the path, I was just looking at birds for like half an hour. And when you look at the birds of the air, they're busy. They're active. They work really, really hard. So Jesus here is not saying, hey, just trust God. You don't have to work. You don't have to plan. You don't have to prepare. Birds are really active. So look at the birds. Doesn't mean you're going to be lazy, but look at the birds. I didn't see, when I was looking at those birds, I never saw a bag they were carrying full of worms. So there's no like worm bags, you know. And I did see one worm in a mouth of a bird, just one, but no worm bags. Not any. He says, look at the birds. Your heavenly Father feeds them. They're working hard, but your heavenly Father, he feeds them. It's the argument from the lesser to the greater. If your heavenly Father feeds the birds, son or daughter of the king, will he not much more feed you? Well, if you're not convinced with that, and you're, how am I going to have clothes? What am I going to wear? Says, well, look at the flowers. So what does he say in verse 28? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So when you're outside this afternoon or later this week, don't just look at the birds, look at the flowers of the field. Just go out, look at a random field. Again, I did this week. It was really fascinating. I normally don't look at the flowers, apparently, but you look at the grass, and you might call them weeds, but there's these beautiful purple things, these flowers that come up even where there just should be regular grass. You look a little bit further, if you just go out here, there's beautiful white and yellow flowers. They are clothed beautifully by our Heavenly Father. They don't toil or spin. They don't make their own clothing. They don't work for this. God clothes them. Again, the argument from the lesser to the greater. Jesus says, you are worth much more than flowers. Maybe you need to be reminded of that today. Go out in nature and remember how God cares for his creation. Friend, he cares for you so much more. He will provide for you so much more. Now, this isn't an argument for health and wealth, you know, clothed better than Solomon. It doesn't mean you're going to have like Gucci bag and all that kind of stuff. He's going to give you what you need, but he will provide. Well, the text goes on in verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, it's temporary, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? So notice how Jesus addresses those of us who worry, which I think is all of us. It's just different levels of worry. Listen to how he addresses us. O you of little faith. Now, this is not a popular idea in today's day and age, in our therapeutic age. But anxiety is not neutral. It's not a benign thing. Anxiety is not a benign thing. He's saying anxiety is related to what we are putting our faith in. As in, if it is skyrocketing, we're not putting our faith in our Heavenly Father. So worrying is not just something we do. It exposes where our trust functionally lies. Think about what you worry about and then walk that back a little bit. What is that exposing about what you think about God? Oftentimes, it exposes that we think we're far more powerful than we are, or we're far more in control of life than we actually are. And it exposes the fact that we don't trust God with whatever we are worrying about. When we worry, we're operating like those who do not know God. We're operating as if our Heavenly Father doesn't know us and doesn't care about us. It doesn't know all of our needs and won't meet our needs. That's what Jesus is saying in verse 32. Listen to what he says. For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. See, Jesus is making the point that those who do not know God are focused only on the earthly things. Where can I get the food? What is my comfort level on this? How can I store up things? They think that everything is dependent on them. If you don't know God, everything is dependent on you, or so you think. But for those of us who are in God's kingdom, Jesus is saying we must not live that way. We can't live like the Gentiles, thinking it's all on us. The end of verse 32 should hit us like a ton of bricks. Let me read it again. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Friend, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? That your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. And he is willing and able and promises to provide. Do you believe this to be true? You know, if one of our younger kids were come up to me and say, you know, Dad, I'm really anxious about you paying the mortgage. I just don't know where we're going to live. I'm really anxious. Another kid would come up and say, you know, I'm really anxious about groceries this month. I just don't know where I'm going to eat. And the other one's like, I'm anxious about clothing. I don't, you know, my clothes, my shoes have holes. I don't know where I'm going to get it. That'd be sad to me as their dad, because I know I'm called to provide for them, and I am going to provide for them as God supplies. But how much greater? I'm a sinful man. I'm not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect father. How much greater will our heavenly Father not provide for us everything that we need? Our anxiety shows where our trust functionally lies. I love this quote from George Mueller. You know, he lived by faith a lot of his life. He says, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So friend, what are you anxious about? How is God calling you to put that thing under his sovereign care and trust in him? Well, the third tool that we come to in this text for how to fight anxiety is fight anxiety by exposing its futility. The futility of anxiety. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? The obvious answer is none of you. You can't add a span of time or cubit of time. Some people think it's your height. If you can get taller or get older, however it's translated. The point is, when you worry, you can't add any time to your life. If you can't do that, then it's not worth worrying about anything. Friends, worry and anxiety adds nothing to your life. There is no net value in worry. You gain nothing. There's no benefit to worry. It only takes. It only cripples. It only puts you in a prison that the Lord wants to free you out of. Irma Bombach once said, worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but never gets you anywhere. How many of you are stuck in that rocking chair? Really busy, worrying. It's not getting you anywhere. Well, you may be saying, well, that's all great, but when I'm worried, when I'm anxious, I'm not thinking rationally. There's no way that an argument like this will work. And that's true. So who in your life can remind you of the futility of worry? We need to fight this together. We need others in our lives who might speak that truth into our lives when we are in the throes of anxiety and worry. Who can remind you of the futility of worry and anxiety? Well, that brings us to the fourth tool of how to fight anxiety. And it's a proactive tool. Fight anxiety by seeking God's kingdom as your top priority. Fight anxiety by seeking God's kingdom as your top priority. Listen to what Jesus says. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So here we learn, if we want to defeat anxiety, if we truly want to see some freedom from this foe, we have to seek God's kingdom first. We need to seek his righteousness first. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to seek God's kingdom? Well, what is God's kingdom? Where is God's kingdom? But where the king is, where King Jesus is. The king, God's kingdom has already come when Jesus has come, and it has not yet fully come. It is the already not yet. What is God's righteousness but the alien righteousness that we receive through Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection when we trust in him? So what does it mean to seek God's kingdom first? Well, first, it means we must believe the gospel, the truth about the king. You see, this king was willingly stripped, naked, unclothed on the cross so that we might be clothed with his righteousness. He willingly subjected himself to thirst so that we might be filled with ultimate, final spiritual thirst. This Savior died for our anxiety and every other sin that we've ever committed. We need to trust and remember the gospel. That's how we seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness. But included in that is we need to live as citizens of his kingdom. That's what the whole Sermon on the Mount is about. And so that means we're going to be people of prayer. Paul in Philippians 4 talks about that. He's probably drawing on Jesus here. Don't be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transforms all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Or Peter in 1 Peter 5, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So we will connect with the Savior through prayer, through communicating with him. We will listen to him through his word as he speaks to us. So a very tangible litmus test for if you're seeking God's kingdom first is God's word a non-negotiable in your life? In that, as you eat food every day, is God's word the same for you? Is it your spiritual food? Jesus said when the woman was at the well in John 4, I have food that you know nothing about. Or when he was tempted by Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. If we want to defeat anxiety in our life, God's word must be ruminating within us. We need to be meditating on it. It can't be a second-rate priority. It can't be secondary. It has to be primary. And that's different than the Gentiles. And the promise, when we do these things, when we set our eyes on the things above, when we seek God's kingdom, the promise is all these things will be given to you as well. The order matters. We don't seek all these things we're worrying about first and then relegate our spiritual life to secondary or tertiary. That has to be first, and then all these things will be provided. C.S. Lewis once said in Mere Christianity, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. So friend, if you are constantly battling anxiety, are you aiming at heaven or are you aiming at earth? Well, that brings us to the fifth and final way to fight anxiety, and it's this. Fight anxiety by focusing on today. That's what Jesus says in verse 34. Listen to what he says. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. You see, anxiety lives in the future. Anxiety lives in the what-if potentialities of life. Anxiety is like the prediction market of our lives, and it's often we're betting wrong when it comes to anxiety. And even when we're betting right, we end up suffering twice because we've been anxious about the thing and then it actually happens. Jesus says, tomorrow will take care of itself. It will be anxious for itself. If you want to fight anxiety, we need to focus on today. It doesn't mean we don't plan. It doesn't mean we don't prepare. It doesn't mean we don't try to figure out what's going to happen in the future. We just don't need to worry about what's in the future. Today is sufficient for its own trouble. It's evil. The days are evil. One of the reasons we get so anxious is because our world is evil, because bad things do happen, because relationships do end, because people deceive us, because people die. There are tragedies. But Jesus says, sufficient is the day for its own trouble. He will give you grace, friend, if that's going to happen today. You don't need to worry about the potentiality of it happening tomorrow. If it happens tomorrow, he will give you the grace. When I started, I told the story about the phone call I received this week. Thankfully, it wasn't too long. The next day, I did receive a different phone call that said, we've made a big mistake. We forgot to send you an entire document about formatting 2 months ago, and we're going to cover the mistake. You're still going to graduate. Everything is fine. Oh, yeah, no. So in that case, all the anxiety that had welled up, I didn't need to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow can take care of itself. But even if it doesn't work out like that, even if the person dies, even if the worst happens, friend, do you believe God will provide for you in that moment? Do you trust that he will be faithful? Anxiety is a foe. It is a foe that if we punch like a punching bag and you've got like the sand or whatever there, it keeps coming back. Anxiety keeps coming back. So you can put all these tools into place, but you'll find that anxiety will keep coming back. It's like waves on the shore. Anxiety will keep trying to rear its ugly head. So don't think you just put these tools into place and everything's going to be smooth sailing the rest of your life. But friend, our great physician, our Savior, he has shown us a way out. He has shown us how to gain freedom. And I know for some of you, this has been a lifelong struggle. You have a diagnosis, you have medication, you have decades of struggling with anxiety. I know it's not that easy. Others, it comes and goes, but you do experience it. But the question is, will you go first to God and his word to find the solution? Or are you going to look elsewhere to find your solution for anxiety? Consider the grace of our Lord Jesus. He gave us here and is giving us here a path to freedom, a path to victory. And it's a process. We're gonna struggle. So friends, listen to the words of your Savior. Do not be anxious. How do we do that? By seeking the Lord first, his kingdom first, and by using the tools that he has given us for this fight. Let's join the fight together. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful that you are good, that you know us, that you are not leaving us when we are struggling to figure out how to deal with anxiety, but you have actually given us power through your Spirit to fight it. Lord, help us. For some of us, we just don't functionally trust that your word is true. I pray for belief. For others of us, it's been such a long, hard struggle that we find it hard to even hope that there could be relief. Lord, give hope to such people today. Lord, we thank you that you have given us all we need for life and godliness, and in this fallen world, that you are with us even to the end of the age. I pray you would encourage us now in Christ's name. Amen.